Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms to be encouraged, nurtured, and inspired. Also, you'll learn the latest in teen research and trends and get practical parenting tips. You really can improve your relationship with your teen and enjoy the teenage years. Welcome back, everyone, to the 134th episode of Power Your Parenting Moms and Teens podcast. I'm Colleen O'Grady, the host of the show. In this episode, I have the privilege of interviewing Molly Ringwald, past, present, and her passion project. What mom listening didn't watch the iconic films Pretty in Pink, The Breakfast Club, and 16 Candles when they were teens in the 80s? Star of stage, screen, and television, Molly Ringwald's credits include the film All These Small Moments, which was released in January 2019 by Orion Classics and is on video on demand, an arc on the Netflix series Tales of the City, Netflix film series The Kissing Booth, CW's Riverdale, and the off-Broadway production of Terms of Endearment. An accomplished author and translator, her fiction and nonfiction has appeared in The New Yorker, New York Times, Vogue, Esquire, The Guardian, and more. Her translation of the French novel Lie With Me, April 2019, and the memoir Your Name Was Maria Schneider, 2022, are both for Scribner. Today, she's carrying out her most important role and the one she is most proud of, being a mother to three children. As someone who has fond memories and associations with turning 16, Molly is dedicated to educating other parents about the crucial second dose of the MenACWY vaccine as the first national spokesperson for the 16 vaccine campaign. I also interview Dr. Albert Karam. He is a pediatrician in Dallas, Texas. He is affiliated with the Karam Pediatric Group and a clinical professor of pediatrics at UT Southwestern Medical School, known affectionately as Dr. Al, the Kitty's Pal. Dr. Karam has been recognized by multiple organizations, including Best Doctors in America, Texas Monthly's Texas Super Doctors, and D Magazine Best Pediatricians in Dallas. He received his undergraduate degree in chemistry from McNeese State University and then attended medical school at LSU Medical Center Shreveport. So welcome, Molly Ringwald and Dr. Albert Karam.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, I'm so excited about this. So all my moms listening have watched your movies, Molly, in the 80s, when they were teenagers. And so I think this is going to be a very fun interview here. So I had to do my homework, and I got reacquainted with Sam in 16 Candles and Andy in Pretty in Pink and Claire in The Breakfast Club, which was totally fun to immerse myself in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And also, I think there were a lot of themes in that that are still relevant to teens today. It's very different, but I think there's a lot that's relevant. So I just have a fun first question, which is, do you have a favorite character?
Do I have a favorite character? You know, I don't. I really love them all. I mean, I sort of look at those movies a little bit. For me, they're a little bit like looking at baby pictures, yeah. You know, especially since I feel like now my kids are closer to all that than I am. It really was so long ago. But as you said, a lot of the issues that were explored in those movies still exist today, which is why people still watch them, I think.
Yeah. So what are the ages of your kids?
I have a 17-year-old daughter who will be 18 next month and a 12-year-old boy-girl twins.
Wow. And have they watched your movies?
The 17-year-old has. The 12-year-olds want to. And I keep saying that we're going to set it up. But, you know, it's pretty emotional for me. It takes a lot of, you know, to go down memory lane like that. And, yeah. You know, and also my 12-year-old daughter is super woke. And I consider myself a liberal, but I'm just not even comparing, but there's just no comparison. She schools me all the time. So I know I'm going to get an earful from her, you know, considering that they are, you know, from a different time. And, you know, so I'm sort of bracing myself for that. I think it'll be easier to watch them with my son, to be honest.
That's hilarious. Yes. So what did your 17-year-old daughter think?
You know, she watched them actually a long time ago. I showed her The Breakfast Club when she was probably too young, actually. She was about 10, but all her friends had seen them, and she really wanted to watch them with me instead of, you know, somewhere else. And so I thought it would be interesting to watch them with her. And it was emotional for both of us. And her response to the movies, it hit her in a way that I was not expecting at all. I mean, you know, at her age, a lot of the more kind of adult themes sort of went over her head, and she was just, they really spoke to her about the pressure that kids can feel, and actually altered my style of parenting with her, which I didn't expect at all. You know, that this movie that I made years and years ago would actually impact my own personal relationship with my own daughter. It was astounding.
Wow. That's very cool. Yeah. So I was wondering if playing those characters, did that help prepare you to be a mom of a teenager?
You would think, but no, no at all. You know, I guess it's maybe a little bit like, you know, how they say psychiatrists are, you know, not necessarily the best parents, you know, even though you would think that would prepare them for it. You know, I think I'm just like every other parent. You know, I did a lot of movies as a teenager, but, you know, times have changed, and it's always no matter how cool you think you are as a parent, you know, I live in a different time than my kids. And it's also, I think, very neurotypical to want to individuate from your parent and to have, you know, differing points of view. So that's always something that, you know, I'm always like, when my kids don't want to wear exactly what I think they should wear, I'm like, but I'm a fashion icon. I could care less. You know, yeah, whatever. You're my mom. You're uncool. You might be cool to someone else, but to me, you're just my mom.
Oh, that's going to be comforting to all the moms listening.
Yeah.
So how do you think being a teenager today is different from being a teenager in the 80s?
Well, I think that it was a much more innocent time. You know, it was pre-internet. You know, all of the feelings of insecurity and, you know, feeling pressure at school, all of that stuff is still there. It's just they have to deal with it 24/7, you know, with the internet and, you know, the feelings of, you know, being excluded or being different, you know, all of that stuff. And also the expectations that they have about, you know, self-image, all of these, you know, airbrushed photos, you know, I think that's something that's really difficult. And also the very real threat of climate change. I think that is a constant existential threat. And this last year that we've gone through with COVID, I think that's really, I mean, that's never happened to me in my lifetime. So, you know, I think that's been difficult for everyone. So there, you know, there's a lot that's the same, but there is, I think everything's just gotten a little bit more enhanced, a little bit more difficult.
I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. So now you're playing the mom role.
Yep.
And I think, isn't your newest movie The Kissing Booth 3?
Yeah, that's the one that's out right now on Netflix. And I'm the mom character. I'm not actually the mom. I'm sort of like the mom's best friend, but I play the mom figure. I just call myself the teen Buddha. I'm like the one that comes in and, you know, offers very wise advice. The cool mom.
Oh, that's awesome. So, okay. So Miss Teen Buddha.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for the moms listening out there from your perspective of the world as a parent?
As a parent? Well, for me, I think communication is really the most important thing. You know, just noticing your kids, you know, picking up on what they gravitate towards, what they're interested in, when they withdraw, what makes them withdraw and just like be interested, you know, be interested and talk to them. You know, that's really what I try to do with my kids, you know, always let them know that I'm there and that I care,
yeah,
you know, about what happens to them and that they can talk to me and that I'm not going to, that I'm going to be an advocate for them and I'm going to be on their side and whatever happens, you know, we can get through it. That's sort of my philosophy of parenting. It's not always the easiest thing to do. And obviously it depends on everybody's personal circumstances and the temperament of their own kids. But I really just try to keep that in mind, which really extends to this campaign, because I think it's really important to talk to your teen's doctor about the meningitis, the MenACWY vaccine. But to me, it's also something that you can talk to your kids about too, because, you know, I think if kids understand, you know, what the devastating effects of this debilitating disease, if they understand that they can be protected, that you can help protect them against this by getting this vaccine, I think if they're able to weigh that, they'll get on board too. But regardless of that, I think that's pretty much my philosophy of parenting, is trying to communicate as clearly and as openly and lovingly as you possibly can.
No, that's great. So what I wanted to talk about next is what you just talked about, which is the 16 vaccine campaign. And that's your newest project that you're passionate in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was brought to my attention that a lot of kids were not getting that crucial second dose. The CDC recommends that kids get vaccinated first at age 11, and then at age 16, they get that second dose. But they're finding that about half are not getting that crucial second dose, which means that they're not protected. And so I really want to raise awareness for parents and for kids and realize that they need to get that second dose, and also encourage parents to talk to the teen's doctor about MenB and also about all of the other childhood adolescent vaccinations that might have fallen through the cracks during this really challenging time.
How did you get involved in this again?
I was approached by Sanofi, who is the maker of the vaccine. And because I'm well known for a movie called 16 Candles and the mother of three kids who's, you know, very pro-vaccination, it just seemed like a very good fit.
Yeah. So Dr. Karam, so can you tell us more about
meningococcal?
Yes.
It takes a while. You're not the only one. Meningococcal.
And I practice. Can you tell us more about the disease? And I saw on your site about the 6 facts about disease and prevention. Could you talk about that?
Yes. So first of all, I'd like to echo what Molly said about talking to children. As a pediatrician, I know we're going to talk a little bit about vaccines, but, you know, we discuss with parents all the time, child rearing and child raising, and she is on the money. And Molly, you're doing a great job. You've got to listen to your kids. Listen, when they talk to you, even if they're angry, they're trying to tell you something. And so it's just so important to spend that time with your kids. There is no substitute for it in the world. Listen to your kids and go from there. So good job, Molly.
Thank you.
Yes, in terms of the vaccine, it's known as meningococcal disease. And meningococcal disease is a particular bacteria. Now, we have to remember, this is not a virus. We have to distinguish between virus infections and bacteria. This is a bacteria, which tend to be acutely, in the acute phase, much more serious than viral infections, COVID notwithstanding. It's a bacterial disease that can get into your bloodstream and then into your brain and can cause devastating consequences. I'm one of the older pediatricians, and I started my pediatric training in 1981 at Children's Medical Center here in Dallas, and I can't tell you how many kids I took care with this devastating disease. If they survive, many of them are left with horrible, horrible side effects, including brain injury, strokes, seizures, hearing loss, and in some cases, they would actually lose their hands and feet. They would have to be amputated, and I have, unfortunately, vivid memories of those and having to sit and talk to parents. And this was back in the day in the pre-vaccine era when we did not have a vaccine that could take care of it. So in that pre-vaccine era, there were 2,500 to 3,000 cases a year of this disease in the United States. This is when the population was lower than it is now. And there were probably 300 to 500 deaths. And those numbers have now dropped. We have fewer than 500 cases a year and fewer than 50 deaths a year. So the vaccinations work, but they have to be given. And with the COVID crisis and parents missing their well visits, and understandably so, many, many, many teenagers miss that very important booster dose, which is given around 16 years of age. So we've been working in our office to call parents and get these kids back in for their 16, 17-year-old well visits. And hopefully we've caught everybody. We have a virtually 100% vaccination rate in my patients. So we're doing our best to try to prevent this horrible, horrible, devastating disease.
So why do you think that, it's so high that they don't get their second dose? What do you think happens?
In terms of the kids, it's you're dealing with teenagers. Teenagers, if they miss their well visit, they aren't going to go to their mom or dad and say, hey, you missed my doctor visit. No, they're going to want to go with their friends down the street. They're going to want to go to the football game, going to want to go to Starbucks with their buddies. So it's up to the parents to get those missed appointments done. Again, in our office, we've made phone calls to, we've gone through our list of patients and made phone calls to remind parents that they need to get their kids in for their routine visit to get their vaccinations. And as Molly said, not only the men ACYW, but HPV vaccine, tetanus vaccines, and anything else that they may be short of. And of course, to review their history, their mental health, those sorts of things. So we've been going through our list of patients to try to find who missed their appointments and giving them a call. But parents understandably missed these visits because of the COVID crisis. We were on lockdown for a while, if you recall. Those visits were put off and parents didn't call back in and quite frankly forgot. But we're doing our best to get caught up.
Yeah, no, I think it's important that you're giving this attention because, like you said, so much of the attention is on the COVID vaccine and not on the other vaccines.
That's exactly correct. And although COVID vaccines are important, play a huge role in society today, we can't forget meningitis vaccine or men ACYW. There's a meningitis B vaccine for older patients. There's the HPV vaccine for kids. So, and then let's not forget flu vaccine. I'll put in a plug for flu. We don't want to have something called a twindemic, in which we have a epidemic of influenza and the current epidemic of COVID. So I really want to just push out there to your listeners that vaccination is important. Vaccination is safe. Vaccination saves lives.
That's great. Anything else you want to add about that, that parents may not know about meningitis, what you're talking about?
So this disease is very interesting from the standpoint that the initial symptoms of this disease can look just like the common cold or the onset of the flu or viral infection. These kids and young adults maybe have a low-grade fever and a headache and a runny nose. How many kids have fever, headache, and runny nose? I mean, my gosh, it happens all the time. And if not recognized early, the results are devastating. And so obviously a parent's not going to rush their kid in every time they have a runny nose and a little fever. If you've got your men ACYW vaccine or the meningitis vaccine, you can feel extremely confident that your kid doesn't have that. So it's extremely difficult to pick this thing up early. Oftentimes they end up in the emergency department in dire straits. I mean, it's just awful. So the vaccine is safe. You know, people always worry about safety. This is an extraordinarily safe vaccine. Personally, other than soreness in the arm and a low-grade fever afterwards and maybe feeling crummy for a day or two, similar to the COVID vaccine, I've never seen any other side effect, and reported side effects in terms of a serious nature, literally, I've never seen any report. So it's safe. It's effective. It prevents a disease that can kill your kid or maim your kid for life. It's kind of a no-brainer in the world that I live in.
Yeah. My 12-year-olds have had their first vaccination for men ACWY, and my elder daughters had both of them. And they were fine. And none of them love getting shots. But, you know, it was explained to them the reason why they were getting it. And, you know, they're on board.
No, that's so true. I remember my daughter hated getting shots. So, yeah. So probably your kids are not going to say, please take me to the doctor to get a shot.
No, no, they won't. They'll never say that. But once they're there, you know, if it's explained to them, you know, what the consequences are, usually you can get them to sort of, you know, be on board and, you know, and it really only takes a second. It's not really that difficult of a shot. So it's, I think it's worth it.
So how is it transmitted?
So Colleen, this disease is transmitted by respiratory secretions, similar to the flu, common colds, and of course the COVID virus. So it can live in the nose and throat and cause no symptoms in anybody. and then something happens. And we don't quite understand what happens to do it, but the germ will invade itself into the nose. And if you think your nose is very near your brain, so it doesn't have very far to travel to get to your brain. And then, of course, the nose has blood vessels so it can get into your circulatory system. Some people who get this disease will simply have what's known as bacteremia. And the most severe form of bacteremia would be sepsis. This is where the bacteria gets into your bloodstream, causes you to go into shock. This is what causes the reduced blood flow to the extremities, in which, unfortunately, some people have to have amputation. In some people, it goes into the lining of the brain and spinal cord, known as the meninges, hence the word meningitis. And so this happens within a few hours. Can I take a moment to share a personal story with you, please?
Sure.
So the vaccine was originally introduced back in the late 1990s, early 2000s. And I had a nephew who was in for his routine visit before going to college. And I talked his mother into getting this. And this is before the vaccine was routinely used, but I knew it was out and knew the devastating disease. And in his first or second semester in college, he ended up going abroad to Spain. And in Spain, in Madrid, I believe, he was in class one day and there was a lady next to him. He didn't know her name, but she was a classmate of his in college doing their foreign exchange. And the next day she wasn't there. And she died that night of meningitis. Mm. His mother, of course, calls me, my sister-in-law, and says, "Oh my gosh, what do we need to do?" I said, "Mary, he's covered. We gave him the shot," which she was very thankful, of course, that I did. But this personal experience shows you can be completely well one day and you will be in horrible shape and die the next day. It's just so rapid and so devastating. So as Molly was saying, you know, I explained to my kid that there are consequences, and, you know, I explained the same thing to kids. We can give you a shot to poke in the arm. It's going to hurt. Or you can take your chance on dying from a horrible disease. What would you like? That may be a bit dramatic, but it's true. And I have the personal experience.
So teens could spread it by kissing each other?
So kissing each other, drinking after each other, eating after each other, or just in close contact, which is what happens in college dormitories.
Yeah.
And so this disease does tend to go in college dormitories, which is, Molly mentioned a second ago, MenB vaccine, which is a second vaccine for meningitis that we are now giving. And we're giving that at age 16, 17, prior to them going off to college. So close contact, college dormitories, eating, sleeping, drinking, living together, you transmit it, you can get it in your nose, and you don't even know you have it. And there's a very likely chance you're not going to get sick, but we don't know who those people are and why it happens that way.
So this would be a really, really good thing to do before your kids go to college.
Absolutely. We are, in my office at least, strongly encouraging parents to make sure they've had their two shots of MenACYW, one at 11 to 12, one at 16 to 17, and then prior to going to college, get their MenB vaccine. And that's a 2 or 3-shot series, depending on the brand. There are 2 brands of that one on the market. So I'd say that 100% of my kids are immunized to MenACYW, and I'd say 75 to 80% are immunized to MenB. These would be 17 to 18-year-olds. In fact, this morning I had at least 2 kids here that were in their 17, 18 group, and they're planning on coming back and getting their MenB vaccine. I think they got their flu shot today and didn't want to get 2 in one day.
So. Of course. Mm-hmm. So any questions that I haven't asked that I should be asking about this?
From my standpoint, talk to your pediatrician or your family doctor, whoever your personal physician is, about this. Living in the world that I live in, as a pediatrician, as a physician who trained in an era where this disease was much more common, I cannot emphasize the importance of getting this vaccine. So please, for your listeners, if your kids don't have it, please go get it. If they haven't had their booster at age 16, please call your pediatrician and get it as soon as you can.
Okay, great. So Molly, any last words you would like to share with my moms?
I just hang in there, and, you know, everybody's doing the best they can. You know, don't beat yourself up if you have been a little bit tardy, but really now the time is to do it, to make sure that you catch up on all of those immunizations and do your best to help protect your kids.
Okay. Well, I am in complete agreement with everything that y'all are sharing. This is so important. And I think just even listening to this podcast could save lives.
That's our hope. Thank you.
It could. Yeah. That's really, you know, Colleen, that's not a dramatic statement. It may. We just don't know which lives will be saved.
Right. So I really appreciate what y'all are doing. Molly, it was very, very fun to talk with you. And thank you for talking about your past and your kids. And, you know, it's going to be really great for my moms to connect with you and know that this 80s teen icon isn't even perfect. So
far from it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Colleen.
This concludes this week's episode of Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. If this podcast has been helpful, I would absolutely love it if you could go to Apple Podcasts and give Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast a 5-star review. This makes it easier for other moms like you to find the support and encouragement they need. Also, my best-selling and award-winning book, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict, Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter, A Guide for Mothers Everywhere. You can find that and order it online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And you can always find other great resources and contact me at ColleenO'Grady.com, 2 L's and 2 E's.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.